Vinny, episode 326 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 326. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, your FDH Lounge dignitaries, breaking down the football for you. A very good week with the NFL last week. We haven't been able to say that too often on the show, especially myself. 10-4-1 overall on my picks. 2-1 on my big three. 1-0 on my lock. Numbers for the season, considerably less than that. 38-49-6 is all I was able to rally to. 3-15 on the big three. 1-5 on my locks. K-Dog, an excellent week for you. I know you were undefeated with a push in there. Was it 1-0-1 or 2-0-1? I kind of lost track.
I thought I was three and oh. Quite frankly, I think it's the second week in a row. You're trying to shortchange me to catch up.
No. The New England line was 3 when we did it. So,
oh, stop it! That line was never 3. Stop that!
I'll give you credit for it.
Was that line 3? I don't think that line was ever 3.
3 is the only number I have written down. I didn't even have any movements for it either way. So we'll give you that
no,
one.
That number was like a 1 all week. I know I won my bet.
Well, because you won your bets, we'll give it to you. That's fine.
Are you still using that nogoodscoresandodds.com?
We're not supposed to single anybody out by name here.
I don't know who's doing their webmaster this year, but those lines they put, I've never really seen them out.
I couldn't remember if you had the Dallas game, which was also a winner. So 3-0.
I had the Dallas game as well.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
I had the Dallas game.
All right.
And I had Pittsburgh.
And Pittsburgh. Yes, I knew about the Pittsburgh one as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So a 3-0 week for you. Right about a push for the season, but that's way in front of me. Way in front of me.
10-9.
You actually have your head above water, so it's all good.
Yeah. Finally above my nose line.
Exactly. We have a just about a full slate this week. The only bye goes to New Orleans and Oakland, so we're going to have to push through these. The Thursday nighter, again, always go check the Twitter at the FDH Lounge. If you want to get the FDH Lounge pick, you're not hearing me say this in time, but Seattle is at Arizona. They're laying 4.5. It's been a pretty steady number throughout the week. I like Arizona getting the 4.5 at home. Don't think they can win, but I think they can be the proverbial penis puncher that I speak of so often and be the weak team that slips in through the back door.
Yeah, obviously when you take a look at this, Seattle, that number has come way down today, hasn't it? I mean, that's the only thing that scares me.
It was 6.5, I think, yeah.
It was high as 7 in some places earlier in the week.
Ooh, okay.
So I definitely like the Cardinals a little less and can't recommend them, but whole dog on a Thursday night, you know, we talked about last week, Thursday, said the Giants were the only way to play it given their ATS record. And I think the dog, if you do want to play this game, is the only way to do it. Seattle, you know, on the road, they're 2-1, but, you know, both wins are pretty close. They beat Carolina by 5 in week 1, and then they beat Houston in that big comeback that, you know, kind of, you know, sends the Texans season down the toilet. And then they lost Indianapolis. So the Cardinals have revenge. They lost 58-0 last time these teams played. So if you're going to play this one, I would lean toward the home dog. But, you know, the number coming down like that lays me off recommending it.
Okay. I can understand that, certainly. We start off here with the Sunday games, AFC East battle, the 5-1 Patriots at the 3-3 Jets. Gumbel and Deardorff on the call for CBS, so it is officially the B game on that network. Line is New England laying 3. started at 3.5, went up to 4 at one point, has come back down. I just keep coming back to, in all of this, I think the greatest variable on either side is Geno Smith. And I think, again, he's going to continue to look, I think, more so like a rookie than the guy who's been able to rally and get things done at various times last week. The Pittsburgh game last week to me was a real indicator of where this guy is at. He came in, he provided a spark early on. He didn't do that great against the Patriots the first time. I don't think he will this time. I like New England laying the 3 on the road.
The only thing is, New England, while 5-1 is kind of a shaky 5-1.
Yes.
And you can get some 3.5s here if you really shop around on the Jets. And, I mean, you know me, I would never recommend a road favorite. I did do it once, and it won, ironically enough, Washington, I believe it was week 3 against Oakland. But, you know, Geno Smith isn't Matt Flynn either. So I'm laying off this one. I've seen a lot of, believe it or not, Jets love at 3.5 among the sharps in this one, figuring the Saints, or pardon me, the Patriots off the big win over the Saints could be in store for a letdown. The Jets did play him within 3 in New England earlier in the year, keep in mind. I'm with you, though.
Yes.
I'm not sold on Geno Smith. He is, I mean, you know, he's going to be what I think a lot of rookie quarterbacks are. They're not all Andrew Luck. They're not all Russell Wilson. He can be wildly inconsistent, and you don't know what you're going to get on a week-to-week basis. You know, certainly there was a huge variance between how he played against Atlanta and how he played against Pittsburgh. So I'm passing on this one.
I think that's probably pretty smart. This next one is not one that you'd want to get down on as one of your four games either, to be sure. The 3-3 Chargers going to the East Coast at 0-6 Jacksonville. Spiro Dedis and Steve Berline will have the pleasure of broadcasting this on CBS, he said sarcastically. San Diego is laying 7 in this one, up from down from 9 initially. Again, far from a recommended play on my part, but I do give it an opinion on every game. This is one where, again, short week, East Coast travel. Feels like I'm setting up to say Jacksonville, right? No. As San Diego's been one of these teams that's thwarted me a lot during the season, and they probably will again. But I just don't see Jacksonville slipping through this back door. I would like San Diego laying the 7.
No. I mean, there's a lot of road favorites this week. And Jacksonville, the only problem is they're not getting 26, 27 points this week. They were,
yeah.
You know, it was a nice one. I mean, that was a pretty easy cover last week for them. You know, they never was really in doubt. And, you know, it just goes to show you never lay that many points in an NFL game. San Diego coming off the short week. I think you and I agreed. We both liked them, didn't we? At the end of the show last week against Indianapolis, we both kind of thought that maybe it was going to be a trap game for the Colts, and it turned out to be.
I'd love to agree with you, but no, I had the Colts.
Oh, okay. San Diego is one of those teams that just seems that it's going to be clearly better than I thought they were before the year, and so that, you know, I'm a little leery about going against them, especially, you know, with Jacksonville, who, you know, if they're not getting, like I said, 26, 27 points, really will never have my interest. So I'm laying off this one, too. I just, you know, not it's a game where, you know, the old Chargers, you know, under Norv Turner would certainly be in danger of, like, losing outright here. I don't think that's the case under McCoy, but it could be closer than people think and probably going to fall right around the number.
It'll probably be in the vicinity of the number.
I was going to say, we've talked about this a couple times a year, and I think San Diego, this will complete their schedule against the AFC South, if memory serves me correctly. Yeah. Yeah, because they played Houston, they played Indy, and they played Tennessee. They've got an unbelievable lights-out record, if you remember, against the AFC South. It's something like 22-4 against the number now.
Yeah.
Last week, winning cover, so... You know, they've had it, but I wouldn't want to lay 7 on the road.
I'm looking for 23 right here. I think the Chargers can do it. Speaking of the AFC South, the looking to be deposed division champions, one of the big shockers of the NFL thus far this year, the 2-4 Texans at the 6-0 Chiefs. Just think about what we would have thought about those numbers at the beginning of the year, as well as these numbers. Chiefs laying 6.5 here, up from 4.5 at the beginning of the year. This is one of these things where, again, it's kind of a dubious handicapping principle to really hang your hat on, I know. But something that I found over the years, if you look at a game where there's a point spread that, and taking into account that there's no injuries that are swinging in either way, and notwithstanding what happened to Matt Schaub, you can't say that's the major reason for this point spread being what it is. Anything that really was shocked you several weeks ago, maybe the dog is undervalued. And that's kind of what I'm looking at here. I know that it's going to be the decision coming down today. Case Keenum going to be starting for Houston. It's a tough spot on the road. But 6.5 is a lot, especially for a team with as good of a defense as Houston's. I do like them to get inside of that. I'd be surprised if they won, but I think they can stay inside the 6.5.
Love where your head's at. You know, last week was the first week, I feel, all year where I really felt I had a good grasp on the league. Nothing really shocked me that happened last week, with one exception, that being Houston's laid-on effort against St. Louis. I warned you, so I was a little nervous that the number had gone above a score, a full touchdown, but I could never thought in my wildest dreams Houston would lose the game outright, let alone get blown out. Yet, it's so amazing, Ricky. If you go inside the numbers, Houston outgained like every opponent this year. They held St. Louis to barely over 200 yards total. Houston, believe still, despite the record and despite the ineptitude we've seen over the last month, has the best yards per game difference in the league at 2-4.
And this is unbelievable. I mean, their run defense, fairly pedestrian, 121.5 yards per game against. Pass defense, supersonic, 131.3.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a team 6 weeks into the season that's only had 10 yards difference between run and pass on yards allowed per game? It's amazing.
Yeah, it is crazy, and I'm with you. I don't think Houston's going to win this game, and you know it is over for them in the division. I think Case Keenum is kind of an amateur hour move by Gary Kubiak, who may not be with us next year, at least as the coach of the Houston Texans. But my first of four recommended plays this week will be the Houston Texans plus the points. Wait as long as you can to bet this game too, because I think the number is going to keep going up. I think they stay inside the number. They are the only winless spread team in the league right now. Eventually they're going, what are they not going to cover every game? So the Houston Texans plus points. Kansas City's been kind of shaky the last 2 weeks against Tennessee and Oakland. Like I said, I think it's going to be a battle of 9-0 teams when they play Denver, but there's no denying that while they may have the same records, one team is significantly better than the other. Kansas City is at 6-0 is not as good at Denver as 6-0.
That's very, very true in my opinion. I certainly agree with that. And again, when you're looking at the value of Kansas City and Houston respectively, I think that's pointing us in the same direction.
Yeah,
and
total value play. Total value.
Exactly.
I loved your breakdown that, you know, at the beginning of the season, there's no way that this line is where it's at. And look, Kansas City's got a great defense. They played well, but, you know, they have the makings of a 12-4 team that still loses on wild card weekend.
At this point last year, I think it's a 2-touchdown swing. I think Houston, even if they're going in there, is probably laying more than a touchdown at this point last year. So it just kind of goes to show you
probably
how much things have changed in 12 months. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It really is. Yeah.
Truly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We talked about a battle of the AFC East previously. Here's the other two teams doing battle here. It's the 2-4 Bills at the 3-2 Dolphins at Sun Life Stadium. My Dolphins, my 1A team, as I've said previously on the show, they are laying a touchdown in this one, down from 9. Initially, a big game, a game with a chance to put away the Bills for all intents and purposes in the wild card / divisional race. They're probably out of the divisional race already, but at least as far as the wild card goes. And yet, again, as I've said previously, I think the Bills just have a chance to get in the back door. I don't think they can go in and win this game. Thad Lewis with a very good job last week. Getting thrown into the mix. Boy, could the Browns use him right about right now. I'm sure they're regretting having ditched him. But having said that, and he's a little bit banged up, I think they can keep it close enough. Miami coming off the bye is going to be dangerous, but I think in what is likely to be a lower-scoring game that Buffalo can stay inside the number.
Yeah, I do too. except, you know, keep in mind that this is going to be Thad Lewis on the road now as opposed to Thad Lewis at home. And
yes,
they were kind of lucky to get the game close. Cincinnati sort of, I think, thought the game was over before it was last week. I mean, if I remember correctly, Cincinnati was up 24-10. They allowed two late touchdowns and then had to win the game in overtime. Yeah, that's how it went. But Miami's not a team that I would want to lay more than one score with. So, again, I'm laying off. No recommendations here, but you're right. I'm kind of with you. If I had to play it, I would probably take the points with Buffalo. Not a bad defensive team, and Stevie Johnson's coming back this week. Man, the luster is off Miami, by the way, after that 3-0 start as well. I mean, with the back-to-back losses, you know, they're kind of, you know, everyone's kind of forgotten about them, but they'll be in play, I think, for the second of the two wild cards. Kansas City is definitely going to get the one in the AFC, but that other one, kind of like, it's funny, at the beginning of the year we talked about how maybe it's probably only going to take 8 or 9 wins to make the playoffs in the AFC. That's still going to be the case for that final wild card. I mean, you find me a sixth good team in the AFC, you know, you're a better man than I.
You're absolutely right about that, and the Dolphins are very much in the mix. You talked about a little bit of luster being gone. That certainly sets up the home team. In our next game, the 4-2 Bears are at the 1-4 Redskins. This is 1:00 Eastern time on Fox at FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland on Sunday. Four-time lounge guest Kenny Albert on the call, along with Daryl Moose Johnston and Tony Siragusa. And this game is a pick. At various points in time, I've seen Washington laying one during the course of the week. Again, this is a team where a real reversal of fortune for the Redskins from last year. The Bears pretty much, interestingly enough, the same as last year, not for the most part. People forget they were 10-6, albeit in missing the playoffs. Riding relatively high again. A little bit of, again, you talk about how Miami had the 3-0 start. So, too, did the Bears, and they've kind of scuffed a little bit the last couple of weeks since then. You know, in a similar spot, Washington proved me wrong against Detroit previously, but this is about as desperation as it gets. In the worst division in football by far, they're not out of it yet, although they're pretty far down. I like them in a desperation setting here to slip past the Bears and cover the, obviously, pick.
You know, Ricky, with the exception of taking the ugly dog Houston, I wish I had more for you, at least so far this week, on these games. But this is another one that I have no interest in getting involved with. You know, the Bears have finally kind of flipped their identity. They're an offensive team, not a defensive team now.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay Cutler should definitely be able to put up good numbers against this horrid Washington secondary. But keep in mind that last week they didn't cover against the Giants. Now, granted, it was a much bigger number they were laying there. But at the same time, 3 of Chicago's 4 wins now by 6 points or less, so they've been winning close. Obviously, you know, the spread's kind of negligible here. You talked about the desperation with the Redskins. I can go back and forth on this game the whole way. I'm laying off because, you know, Washington, look, I said coming into the year that was a team I was seemingly down on more than anybody. I didn't even think they'd be this bad. So I liked the Cowboys last week against them, but now they're at home. And, you know, the division's bad, but with Dallas and Philly playing this week, someone's going to get to 4 wins, and Washington can't afford to fall too far behind. So to me, this is a coin flip game like the point spread indicates, so I'm laying off.
All right, well, speaking of those other two teams, we got that one coming up next. Two teams that are 3-3, Dallas at Philly. Fox is sending the A-team for this one. Tom Brenneman, Troy Aikman, and the delicious Pam Oliver, 1 o'clock Eastern time, Lincoln Financial Field in Philly. And in looking at this game, this is very interesting. Philly's laying 2.5, started as a pick 'em. I'll be very interested to hear your reasoning. You let me know off air what your big plays were going to be for the week. This is one where I started off, this was almost a borderline lock for me. I loved Dallas coming in this situation, but I have flipped my jib on this one altogether. I'm going with Philadelphia. Part of my rationale, Dallas's defense isn't completely up to snuff at this point. They've got some key injuries in there. It does figure to be two teams going up and down the field an awful lot, and that's the kind of game that Philadelphia can win. They can only really win those type of games right now because their defense is so bogus. I'm going towards Philadelphia, but I don't have a better rationale than that. I know Philly is one of your big plays for the week, so please let me know why and why I'm right going with Philadelphia.
Look, I loved Dallas last week. And if there's anything we've been able to discern, it's that the – I mean, we talked about the Chargers earlier. The Cowboys are a real Jekyll and Hyde team too. And, first of all, you can get the Eagles at -2.5, which I would highly recommend doing if you could at most places at this point. And I think you're going to – most of the money here during the week has come in on Dallas. And a public underdog like that is usually a team to fade. Another reason that I like the Eagles, this team hasn't covered a home game now in 1.5 years. What are they not going to cover every home game? So that's a typical Kyle angle right there. And also, I'll be honest with you, when he first kind of emerged onto the scene, I thought it was kind of laughable. But Nick Foles, I think, is the better option in this Chip Kelly offense than Mike Vick. Not only financially does it make more sense because Vick is, you know, in the final year of a contract year, you're not going to want to pay him, you know, anywhere near the kind of money he's getting right now. But Foles just gets the ball out quicker, and they've looked a lot better, and he doesn't turn the ball over as much. Dallas, this is it's the perfect time to go against them. Everyone's high on them. They're back to .500. They had the game against, you know, the moral victory, as Jerry Jones called it, against Denver. Then you had the big division win on Sunday night against Washington. I think the Eagles at home are due to cover. I think that Chip Kelly's demise has been greatly exaggerated by those who want him to fail. I'm telling you, these teams are going to be in a dogfight all year long in this division. The Eagles have surprised me, you know, by going 2-1 on that 3-game road trip. Now they're back at home. They're due to cover. Love the Eagles this week. This is actually my favorite play. Lay the points.
Okay. All right. Well, I knew you'd have a rationale all lined up for that one, or multiple ones, as the case may be. Sounds good to me. This next one here, this is kind of a rare one for me. It's not one of my big three plays for the week, but it's only my second why ask why of the season. I actually lost on my first one a couple of weeks ago. The 3-3 Rams at the 2-3 Panthers, and Carolina is laying 6.5 at home and opened at 7. This is a thing where it seems steep to me, and that's why I'm going with Carolina. I've learned that if the point spread seem to smell, that it's probably because the wise guys know something. I just don't get how, you know, and I understand Carolina's coming off a big week, but in some ways that makes it all the more puzzling, because what St. Louis did to Houston, I think, is both of these were road situations, I think is even more impressive than what Carolina did. So you can't ascribe this to short-term thinking. I'm just confused as to why the Panthers are laying almost a touchdown at home to St. Louis, given where they're both at right now. And because of that, why ask why, I'm on the Panthers.
Yeah. I'll tell you why. The Rams, that was a phony win against the Titans. You know, you don't want to take anything away from a team, but Houston kind of just beat itself last week. I mean, did you see the total yardage? I have almost never – let me bring this up here, if we can just stall for 1 second here. I've never seen a game where one team, the St. Louis Rams, they win – 38-13, okay?
Yeah.
They gained 216 total yards for the game. Houston gained 420. Doubled them up, and they lost 38-13. The difference was obviously the four turnovers. That's a really kind of phony result, and I think what you're seeing here is the odds makers are putting very little stock into that Rams victory. Now, Carolina is a dangerous team to back because of that 2-4, especially when they're laying 7, because they're like 2-14, I believe, is the record under Rivera in games decided by 7 points or less. But, you know, Ron Rivera, bless his soul, you've maybe read it elsewhere, he's going for it on fourth down. He seems like a changed man. Cam Newton still has no receivers and isn't until next. Hopefully they draft one next year. But this thing has a very good defense. St. Louis is terrible against the run. Carolina, the one thing they can do offensively is run. This almost got a recommended play for me. I think the Panthers roll them, to be honest with you. It's not one of my recommended plays. And to be honest with you, I kind of almost want to make it one, but I'm going to chicken out. I think if you play this one, you actually lay the number. I think Carolina has the chance to win this one big. I know like a Dallas or a San Diego. They look great one week and piss poor the next. But look, I have no regard for St. Louis whatsoever. I know that you and I differ on that. I don't think this is a very good team. St. Louis is very good. Carolina, somebody's got to make some noise in that NFC South and at least pretend to make it a race with New Orleans. So I think Carolina has the potential to blow St. Louis out here.
Well, I intuited that the wise guys would have a rationale. You being one of the wise guys set that up perfectly. As far as it goes with the NFC South, that sets up our next game. Who would have believed this one combined victory between them to date? 0-5 Bucs at the 1-4 Falcons, 1 o'clock Eastern time on Fox at the Georgia Dome. In Atlanta is laying 7 in this one, down from 7.5. This is another tough one. This is probably a stay away for most of the wise guys out there because of the sloppiness of the teams involved. I think Atlanta's going to win the game, but that offense is just so beat up. Again, the same rationale I used earlier with Houston and I used with Buffalo. I think Tampa Bay's coming in the back door. I would take the 7.
No interest in this game. You're right. Too many injuries with Atlanta, and I think we're a couple weeks away from a near mutiny with Tampa Bay. Shades of grambling what's going on down there. I mean, that's a bad situation. I'll tell you this. Atlanta, if you don't believe in the analytics, if you don't believe in the numbers that we went through before the season, this team is exhibit A, B, and C in all of them. I mean, it was a very fortunate 13-3 last year. They beat a lot of bad teams close at home. This year, they're losing all the close games, a lot of injuries. So they're not as bad as and you know me, I've been as critical of Atlanta as anybody the last couple of years for kind of being more pretender than contender. But the bottom line is this. They weren't as good as their record last year. They're not as bad as their record this year. They'll be somewhere in between next year probably. And Tampa Bay, once they get a real coach and a real quarterback, I look for them. I know here's your Kyle Ross very early 2014 NFC South preview. I look for them to be a much improved team next year. But until then, it's going to be pretty ugly. I mean, this is a team that's going to pick very high in the draft. Teddy Bridgewater or Marcus Mariota will probably be their starting quarterback next year.
Yeah, it's going to take a new coach, a new quarterback, and most importantly, probably, a new locker room, one that does not include any staph infection anywhere, because that's been an issue for them.
Yeah, that's true.
Well.
Yeah, that's true. That doesn't help any of the matters either, yeah.
Yeah, when it rains, it pours, no question about it. This next one here was borderline for one of my big three during the week, but you would have been ragging on me for being an old road favorite Ricky if that were the case. So you are having some effect on me,
week.
I suppose.
I was so proud of you. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry. I was so proud. Didn't you learn from last? You took Baltimore as a 3-point home dog. They only lost by 2. If that isn't proof positive that you need to come on the other side, I don't know what is.
You keep talking about situations like that. I just don't see that many of them. But I actually won and benefited from it. They snuck underneath in there. They lost the game but still covered. In this one here, again, I like the road favorite. It's 4-2 San Francisco at 3-3 Tennessee. It's hard to like San Francisco too much because of the travel, and that's another thing that you've pointed out to me is moving across time zones. But I almost get the sense in looking at this, because last week I was very much in the minority in picking Tennessee to cover at Seattle. And I understand there are no moral victories in the NFL, but that's as close as I've seen to one in a long, long, long time. They hung in there with Seattle. Very rarely do you get that kind of satisfaction let down off of a loss, but I think Tennessee, having their second consecutive game against an NFC West powerhouse, you may see a little bit of that. There may be a little bit of a letdown from coming so close at Seattle. I love San Francisco, laying the 3.5. Like I said, started at 5 earlier in the week. I like them laying the 3.5.
Tennessee's been getting some love from the Sharps, but I'll be honest with you, I don't see it, Ricky. By the way, home dogs record this year, 19-13 against the spread overall.
Ooh.
You're right. It is kind of rare that a field goal underdog at home would lose the game and not cover. A lot of times they just, obviously win the game outright. The point spread comes into play usually a couple games per week in the NFL. But back to Tennessee, I mean, the quarterback situation still is bad, and here's a stat for you. Teams, you talk about the back-to-back NFC West opponents. Teams the week after playing Seattle, this used to be the case a couple of years ago with Pittsburgh. They always said a team who'd play Pittsburgh, they'd be beat up, and they wouldn't play as well the next week. We're seeing that with Seattle this year. The team that played Seattle the previous week has failed to cover the next week every single game, and I think they may have lost outright every week, too. We saw it with the Colts on Monday night last week, and, I mean, I could go back real close, but I'm pretty sure that it's now 0-4 straight up against the spread the week after playing Seattle, if I've got my math correct. So Tennessee may just not have enough left in the tank. And another thing to keep in mind, too, you talk about that moral victory against Seattle. They were lucky to kind of cover that game. I mean, I was with you. You maybe want to take the point Seattle was off a disappointing loss. But they didn't score a touchdown. Their only touchdown was that bizarre field goal return. So San Francisco's kind of turning it around. Kaepernick, not so much. But as a team, they're playing a lot better. So I cannot back the home dog here, and I'll lay off.
Okay. Five games to go here. Two more until we get to my big three. You talk about that car crash effect the week after playing Seattle. That has been ascribed in recent years to both of the teams that are playing in this next game here, the 3-3 Ravens at the 1-4 Steelers. I've heard it spoken about in terms of the week after you play very physical teams like that. Pittsburgh in this one laying one at home. It had been up as high as 2.5 from what I've seen. This is one, again, where, as opposed to with Washington, where they still have some tiny shred of a hope of winning in the division or getting a wild card, I think the ship's already sailed for Pittsburgh. I think a lot of people are looking at this saying it's now or never. I think it was now or never 2 weeks ago. I think it's a little too late for them. I like Baltimore in a bounce-back situation on the road getting a point.
Yeah, I'm actually, this is my third of four recommended plays, joining Houston and Philadelphia, Baltimore. I think Pittsburgh is a nice win. They were a recommended play last week, but it was just such, it was situationally, it was just such a great spot for them. They were off a bye week, desperate, winless. Jets off a huge outright victory on the road on Monday night. You know, Baltimore, add them to that list of the San Diegos, the Dallases, the Carolinas, of up 1 week, down the next. They're due for a bounce back this week after the home loss to Green Bay. Baltimore, to me, they are who I thought they were before the year. They're going to be probably an 8-8 team that is in the mix for that final wild card. So they'll win here. Pittsburgh is heading for a top-5 draft pick.
They are, and this week is just going to be a road bump along that path, no question. The Sunday nighter, the Denver Broncos laying now 6.5, up from 5.5 at the open, at the 4-2 Colts. This is one where, again, a lot of hype. Manning v. Luck for the first time. Manning playing the Colts for the first time. Manning coming back to Indianapolis for the first time. His first meeting with them just happens to be a road game. A lot of hype about the comments of Jim Irsay flapping his trap. If it were not for Jim Irsay, I would feel very confident in what I'm about to say. As it is, I'm like semi-confident. Peyton and the Broncos have been revved up by the stupidity of Jim Irsay. Having said that, again, I do like Indianapolis getting the 6.5, and I think they're a very live dog in this situation here. I think Denver, as they showed last week, a little bit overvalued at this point. Indianapolis has got a defense that can score with them. Granted, the Broncos are getting back Von Miller under the circumstance, so I've probably said more things at points to Denver than I do Indy at this point. But nevertheless, I just feel like the Colts are getting slept on in this situation. I like them getting the 6.5.
You won't believe this. I really, really wrestled whether or not to make this a recommended play. And by this, I mean the Broncos. I would be a lot more shocked if Indy won this game than if Denver won in a complete rout. Indy, it's funny, they beat Seattle. And I think their stock was at an all-time high. It was great. A lot of the handicappers by Monday night, the time Monday afternoon rolled around, were on San Diego. I noticed a lot of people, almost everyone loved San Diego. I looked the next morning around, almost everyone got the win with San Diego. And it just feels that, you know, all those analytics before the year that indicated the Colts were going to, regress a little bit, people had forgotten about those because they were 4-1. The division looks like it's easy. I'm not forgetting about those. Look, Indy's going to win the division, but it's going to be an ugly division win, which they're probably going to be like 9-7. They're not going to win this game, I'll tell you that much. And people are so – it's so funny because of the point spread. And it's why you take Jacksonville is because – it's just because the public sentiment that, oh, Denver's got to blow them out. And now it's so funny because they didn't win by 28 points. People think the Broncos are struggling. They still won the game by double. They still won an NFL game by double digits and led 14-0 after 5 minutes. I mean, I almost had a heart attack when I saw the scores 14-0 after 5 minutes. So I'm telling you, this Irsay, I don't know what he's doing. I mean, unless he's planning to hit Manning with a little sweet chin music before the game, I guess, and Luck's going to pile drive him at midfield. I think that Denver has the possibility of rolling here. By the way, if two of my four recommended plays lose and Denver and Carolina both roll, I'm going to be really mad.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see about that. And you know what? And we did not coordinate this, I swear to God. You just referenced sweet chin music there, and I am about to reference my New Age Outlaws play of the year because, believe it or not, for one of my big three, I actually like a road dog. And how often do I do that? But in this game, it is Cincinnati at the Detroit, both teams 4-2. Detroit is laying 2.5 in this one. I'm all over Cincinnati in this spot. I just, part of it is I look at the legitimacy of the records between the two. Cincinnati's a more legitimate 4-2, although even they, you referenced teams being up and down thus far this year. It's hard to crap on a 4-2 team that much, but the Bengals have had a couple of letdown spots as well, particularly against the Browns, where they lost outright and shouldn't have. And the game against Buffalo where they tried to choke it away and didn't. Nevertheless, coming off of that game, I think they go into Detroit. I think it's a statement game for the Bengals to win this one on the road. I like them getting the 2.5.
This, I'm surprised this was a top three for you. This game, to me, there's fewer games on this week's card that I struggle with more than this one. There's no result in this game that would totally shock me. I could see anything happening. I'm laying off. I get the good number. I do, in my power ratings, I have the Bengals one spot above the Lions, which would thus probably make them a 2.5-point dog on the road. I have no opinion. Of all the games, I mean, there's some, it's like, okay, if you force me, I can pick one. If you force me, if you put a gun to my head and said, make a pick here, you might have to find someone else to do the show with because I don't have any answer.
Yeah. Well,
I just have nothing. I just look at this and I'm like, yeah, two even teams. The help of Calvin Johnson's key as well.
Well, we couldn't get Jesse Pinkman to pull the trigger at your head because he would tell you to do it yourself, but I'm sure we could find
somebody under the circumstances.
That's the first of my big three is Natty getting the 2.5. The next one, I'll tell you what, again, this just goes to show I'm not shying away from what seems to be a familiar speed. 3-3 Browns at the 3-2 Packers. I got myself into trouble the last time the Browns were a hefty dog on the road to an NFC North team as I picked them to go down to Minnesota. In this one, the Browns are getting 10. That is down from 12 initially. And yet, as bad as Brandon Weeden is looking right about now, and the fact that the Detroit defense in the second half may have started to expose the Browns a little bit thus far, and this defense may be playing a little bit over their head. And keep in mind what we've been saying coming into the season. Front seven could be very good. Secondary may struggle. Boy, in the second half, by establishing both the pass and the run and keeping the Browns on their heels, the Lions may have exposed a little something problematic here, at least in the short term with the Browns. I don't think they can come close to keeping up with what Aaron Rodgers is going to do to them Sunday. So Green Bay laying the 10 is the second of my big three picks.
When you've got Brandon Weeden against Aaron Rodgers, you're going to give me a lot more than 10 points to work with to want to take Brandon Weeden. Now, that being said, the Packers' injuries have me a little concerned.
Yes.
Here's a factoid for you. Do you know your Cleveland Browns have been leading at halftime in every game this year?
That is amazing. That streak's coming to an end this week, by the way.
Yes, they are. You know, I let me go a little exotic on you here. If you want to play this game, do Packers in the first half. I'd just be too leery of a back door. year. But I think look for Green Bay to be at least going into halftime with a touchdown lead. If you want to get involved in the first half, I don't know, maybe you don't want your betting to bleed into dinner time on Sunday. Go with the pack in the first half. I can't endorse a full game recommendation, but yeah, if you want to do the first half, I get behind that.
All right. Well, that takes us to my 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 7. And it also coincides with one of your picks for the week, so it's rare when that happens through the course of the season. And then, again, the one that I feel the strongest about, I am picking a winless team, albeit they're playing a team with only one win themselves, and it's the Monday Nighter. I don't often find myself on the Monday Nighter, and yet this has happened at least three times thus far this season where it's been one of my big three. So it's just been kind of a weird year. The 1-4 Vikings at the 0-6 Giants, the Fran Tarkenton Bowl, if you will, although it'll probably be Josh Freeman getting a nod for Minnesota at quarterback here as they go to try that out. The Giants have screwed me multiple times this year, Kansas City, Philly, whatever, when I've said they're due. This time I mean it, okay? This time I really, really mean it. The Minnesota is a made-to-order, get-well opponent. Giants are laying 3.5 up from 2.5 at the open. I think they may very well roll in this one. A get-well situation for Eli Manning in this offense that really needs it.
With the Freeman announcement, which I believe is official as of right before we did this show, I believe it is official that Freeman's getting the nod. Don't be surprised that you get the Vikings get a little buyback at 3.5, and you can maybe, if you wait till Monday, get this game at 3. The Giants are my 4th of 4 recommended plays. I agree. They screwed me many times. They did get off the ATS schneid with the kind of sneaking into the back door last week against Chicago. Minnesota, by the way, like the Giants, winless in the United States of America this year. Their only win was the London game against the Steelers. The Vikings are a mess. Look, I told you before the year that there was no bigger candidate to regress than them. It has shown. It's more than the quarterback position, too. You know, other than Adrian Peterson, they're just not very strong anywhere else. And if he's not having one of the greatest seasons of all time at the running back position like he did last year, then this team's going nowhere. The Giants have to. What, are they going to lose every game? I mean, I realize that they invent ways to turn the ball over seemingly every week. But at home, Monday night, a bad team coming in with a bad quarterback who's just learning the system. That's a real desperate move by the Vikings, too. Come on, Giants. Get it together. G-Man, 4th of 4 recommended plays this week.
Yeah, they're going to roll in this spot. And when you talk about it, again, going back to the St. Louis-Houston game last week and the flukiness of turnovers, turnovers are fluky also across the course of a season. The Giants are minus 16. All right, so when you talk about regression to the mean, is Eli Manning going to throw 5 picks to the Minnesota secondary Monday night? Because that's pretty much what it's taken for him to lose games previously. Ain't going to happen against this Viking defense.
No, it's not. The Viking secondary is horrible. I mean, Brian Hoyer, several weeks later, people are still speaking of Brian Hoyer as if he was Otto Graham because of his game against the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, the Vikings just aren't good. The Vikings, I would say, are going to be a top. They are not a good team.
No, they're not. So when you look at the recommended plays for this week, you are on the Giants, on Baltimore, on Philadelphia, and on Houston. My big three is Cincinnati, Green Bay, and I am also on the Giants as my lock pick for this week. So a great bounce-back situation last week, Kyle. We called our shot at the end of the show, said that we thought it would be. So I think we're rounding into form here and setting up for a profitable second half of the season.
Yes, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe your big play last week was Dallas, which I also agreed on. So from Sunday night to Monday night this week. So here the stars are beginning to align here. So
exactly.
I expect a big bounce back here, although I don't necessarily feel as good about this card as I did last week. I'm really hoping that, you know, Carolina and Denver, if Carolina and Denver both roll and I wind up going like 2-2 with my 4 recommendations, I'm going to be kind of mad next week. So.
I had trouble finding plays outside of the Monday Nighter, but again, we shall see. I feel like I'm getting a better handle on what's happening in this very strange season, as has been the case with you. I think you're getting a good handle on it as well. A pleasure as always, my man. Thank you so much, and we will reconvene next week.
Go Colorado Avalanche.
That's a cheap shot. We're out.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.